We're going to be looking at Philippians here this morning, and this is more like a New Year's Eve, New Year's Day message here, and this is something that we here as Christians continue to go on. Life goes on. I've celebrated New Year's in the past, but then after a while, after I became a Christian, if I could stay up that long to 12 o'clock, I don't know, most of us can or not today. We're probably sound asleep, oozing away, unless we hear a bunch of clattering and singing and, you know, fireworks. We've already made our peace and prayed. I remember that in my younger times, the church would go on to 12 o'clock at midnight. We all stand in a circle and pray. You might remember that too in your younger years. But anyhow, just looking at in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And as we look back at this, and, you know, Paul gives a good illustration here, a good metaphor of a runner here, as we're supposed to run the race. And we're not supposed to look behind, because I remember there has been some races, and we're all going through different races every day. You know, we race to this, race to that in our minds, and we're like, phew. All of a sudden, we're right there, you know, and time stops. We're like looking behind us and we're like, okay, did I finish today? Yes, I did. What else am I going to do? And we run to that area there. You know, as we look back at this past year, you know, some ideas that it came to my mind, I prayed about this. I've never in my life, or even read in the history books, some of you might have had, I don't know. And I've never had a president that we have who's been there now for 11 months, be 12 next month. We have 3 more years of him, so we need to pray. Be praying for our leaders, really encouraging, but sign executive orders changing everything that the president before did. I've never seen that happen in my life, never. And to me, that's a red flag, you know, and just like, okay, I really need to be praying for our country. We went through COVID again this year, and there was a downtrend, but now we have Omicron coming up, and we have things are slowly starting to close down again, okay? So we need to be really praying as I look back. I also look back and see there was hurricanes. Horrible hurricanes came through, the one that came back in the fall time, and then the floods that came, the people displaced. People are still displaced from that hurricane that came up through the Gulf of Mexico not long ago. And there were the tornadoes just recently, just ripped through Kentucky, and there's still a lot of displaced people. So we need to really be praying. But, you know, on the good side of this past year, we've been through a lot of trials. My goodness, some of you are here by the grace of God are still alive, you know, and what you've been through, you know, might know friends and people that, you know, if it wasn't for prayer, you know, through the trials, that God has strengthened people. And you've seen miracles happen. People just made it through. And you're just like, wow, that's by the grace of God. And I'm very thankful to preach that here this morning. We've seen also prayers answered, even through a lot of our suffering. A lot of us have suffered this past year, going through things that others couldn't go through, you know. So my philosophy is in ministry, I never compare one person to another. Never. Because everybody's different. Their thinking is different. The way they look at things are different. And so this is what came to my mind. Also, this is a poem, a saying here. I asked God. It says, I asked God to send me his friends. He sent you. I asked God to take away my pain. God said, no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no. His spirit is whole. His body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted. It's earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessing. Happiness is up to you. I ask God to spare me pain. God said, no, suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to take to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you and make you fruitful. And I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. And God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. And last but not least, it says here, I ask God to help me love others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, finally, you have the idea. So, love. Remember, God's love. That's what counts. You know, even when the chips are down or whatever they want to coin it or phrase it, it all comes down to love. So, looking at Philippians, we're looking at Philippians here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And of course, this is an encouragement here to the Philippian churches and those that are around. And just like it is here, God wants us to encourage us here from our Carnival Walk and the churches around through the Holy Spirit of God. It says here in verse 12, we're going to see, first of all, number one, we follow after our given purpose. We follow after God's given purpose. Verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained. That means it's not like we have already attained what we have and we can just stop what we're doing, which unfortunately some people have stopped going to church. Some people are just like they know everything about God's word, but they don't want to act upon it. They don't want to do anything. And I want to encourage everybody here. I'm very thankful for those that are acting upon it, those that are working upon it, those that are laboring through prayer and doing everything that they can to be in obedience to God's word. I'm very thankful for ones that are here. Not as though I have already attained, either we're already perfect. In other words, I haven't, nobody has an attained to that perfection. That is only when we go home to be with the Lord, but we can live it spiritually now, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the opposite of that perfection or that maturity is pride. And that's the biggest problem that people have to deal with themselves. Their worst enemy is themselves. And for us, we need to break away from that person that ourselves and let God fill that. Because everybody, whether they want to accept it or not, everybody has a part of them that is made up to worship. And they fill it in with the worldliness and everything else except worshiping God. And yet people fill it in with other things as well. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended. And it has the idea of giving of that energetic endeavor that we want to catch. We want to seize hold of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying here, I'm following after what I have apprehended, and that I want to follow Christ. I want to have the energy, and I want to endeavor to seize and to catch and hold on to that dearly that I love so much. I love what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It says, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. In other words, every race that we have, that we grab a hold of, that we lay upon us, that God has given unto us, that we lay hold dearly to our hearts, that we may run with this prize, this goal that we have. And it says, and in every man that striveth for the mastery is patient in all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. As it was in his day, there was a wreath, a crown. There were different types of crowns that they had they would run for. And we all run for that. And so, but we don't want to run for the corruptible crown. We don't want to finish the race and realize that we did it in the flesh. We did it in the things of the world. we want to make sure that we did it in the spirit. And we know that we do it in the spirit, and we know when we do it in the flesh. It says, I therefore so run as uncertainty, so I fight as I, not as one that beateth the air. I remember years ago, my dad taught me how to box. He says, son, you know, you got to be ready to defend yourself because you will be attacked. There will be people who will be out there to get you verbally and physically, and they will try to take things from you, and you know, all kinds of bad things can happen, but you need to defend yourself. Well, God has taught me over the years that I need to defend myself with Jesus Christ. That's what I need to do in love. I had a man come banging on my door just a few days ago. He was very angry at me, and I felt sorry for him. I knew who he was, but he was angry because I parked in a parking spot, believe it or not, over where we live at, and he thought that I had no right to park there, just out of nowhere. But you know what contained me, was this, is that, no, I'm going to show meekness, strength under control, and I am going to keep my voice down, because he was escalating, I was de-escalating. And I had to talk to the manager, the apartment manager, about it. And you know what? It all worked out. I did what was right by going to the authority, the apartment manager. And I did what was right. I moved my vehicle very nicely, and I parked it somewhere else. But of course, my pride was like, well, how dare you? You know, if you want to, you know, do this, you're going to try to embarrass me. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to beat you up. No, that is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to have meekness. It doesn't mean weakness. It means strength under control. So keeping with this, Paul's like, it's not like a boxer beating the air, because I'm not getting anywhere when I try to box against the things of the world. I'm just like beating the air, getting nowhere. But he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. It means control, control, control the flesh, control it with the Spirit of God. And at least if by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, being shipwrecked or being a reprobate, as it does also another meaning. The root word means reprobate. That means you're no good at all. And also, too, that you made a shipwreck of your life. Sure, God can forgive you, but Paul's saying, I got to be careful, because with the attacks that I get, that's exactly where the devil, the D with the evil at the end of it, wants us to be shipwrecked today. He wants us to be no good to nobody and to ourselves. I love what Eric Little did years ago. You probably heard about this man, but it says, for months, Eric Little trained with the purpose of winning the 100-meter race in the Olympic races in 1924. Many sports writers predicted that he would win. Then Eric learned that a 100-meter race was scheduled for Sunday. See, he put the Lord first. And then this posed a problem. Eric believed that if he could not honor God by running in the contest on the Lord's Day, his fans were stunned by his refusal. He wasn't going to do it after training and doing this. It's like some people train to get a job and don't get it because of their beliefs. Some who had praised him now called him a fool, but Eric stood firm. Suddenly, a runner dropped out of the 400-meter race scheduled for on a weekday. Eric offered to fill the slot, even though this was four times as long as the race for which he had trained. And they thought, you are nuts. You can't even run this race during the week, let alone, why don't you just take Sunday just one time? Remember, like I said before, you know, if we compromise, we give in a little, and then all of a sudden, everything starts falling down, you know. And then when the race was run, Eric Little set a record of 47.6 seconds. And as he said it, you know, I do it as unto the Lord. And then the winner later, Eric Little, went to China as a missionary and died there in 1945 in a war camp. And people say, oh, what a failure. No, he ran the race. He believed in his Savior. He ran as it was because he loved his Lord. And that yet he ended up dying in the concentration camp because he was involved in missions, as you remember. He was a pastor there for a while up in England. And he decided to go into missions later on. He was not a failure. He ran the race. And sometimes some of us here today, let me encourage you, thinking, my goodness, life is getting me so far down. In this portion in Philippians, it has the idea of a runner running uphill. And, you know, some of us think, man, I am getting so tired. My heart is weak. I can't run as strong as I used to. My limbs are sagging. My whole body's just sagging. I'm tired. But God wants us to run the spiritual race, Okay. He wants to keep our bodies in good shape. Yes. Doctors tell us that. But we have a doctor in heaven, which is Jesus Christ, who ran the race before us, who says to us, run the race. Okay, in him, in his spirit. So Eric Little was not a failure. He was a man called after God's own heart who ran that race for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see here, second of all, in verse 13, we work at forgetting the past, putting that behind us. Verse 13 says, and brethren, when I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, it has the idea of forgetting about the victories and the defeats in the past, and of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. It has the idea of straining every muscle that you have, giving it everything that you got. And I know some people are suffering so much right now. They're so sick and they're so tired that God does not them to be faint and well doing. So in doing so, you will reap and faint not. It says here, reaching forth and forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. And, you know, I just love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, failures repeated, failures are a finger post on the road to achievement. One fails forward to success. When you run in races, you run. And when you hit that line, that finish line, you bend forward. They tell you to do that in running. Remember that in high school for those who ran? You bend forward. You don't look behind you. I've watched some videos on YouTube this week of runners who thought they had won before they got to the finish line. And they slowed down, and these runners behind them saw that as like, oh boy, I'm going to barrel up some more steam here, and I'm going to get that second win, and I'm going to, boom, I'm going to shoot right through, and I'm going to win that race before he does. And you know what? The runner out ahead lost. Runners are different races. And we have to be careful because there's an evil force in this world today, and we know who he is. He wants us to slow down, think, hey, it's okay. I can sit in my spiritual rocking chair. My life's behind me. Look at all that I've done. You know, but God says, wait a minute. I still have you alive for a reason. Wake up. I'm not done with you yet. You still have more work for me to do. And that's exactly what he's got for us to do. And, of course, that is between us and the Lord. That is between us and the Lord. And so we need to keep that in mind. So we need to remember that we need to lean forward with this. And I'm often reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this, that wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that God has set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who with the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where he is now. And so we need to run that race. We need to continue to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an encouragement to everybody this morning. You know, thing that gets us, the devil will work two ways. One, he'll work on us when we're exhausted, when we're tired, when we're worn out. And that's always, I hate him so much. He's my enemy. And, you know, he always waits until I'm just totally out of it. or he'll work on me if, and of course, this is a sin that we all have to deal with sometimes, called laziness. We're so lazed out, and we're just, you know, not thinking about the things of God. He'll work on us then. You know, but if we bring the two together by the Holy Spirit and prayer and strength, we will have peace and contentment and joy like we've never had before. And that's where God wants us to run the race, with patience, enduring, remembering there are others just like us here, churches all over the world that are going through similar things that were built up in the body of Christ, strengthened with and kept in balance by that cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so we see that, one, we follow after his God-given purpose. Two, we are forgetting about those things in the past and moving on. And then thirdly, we press on toward the goal, toward God's purpose. You know, when in verse 14, I remember when I was raising my kids, I said, there's one thing I want you to never forget. I said, you should have goals in life. And do the very best that you can with your goals. And when Paul talks about pressing on to the mark, he talks about the goals that we have. We have goals, and you know, a lot of times it's hard because we stumble and we fall. The Bible says in Proverbs, a righteous man stumbles and falls down, he gets back up seven times. You know what? That word seven is the idea in the Hebrew of perfection, perfection. And we get up so that we may be perfected, that we may be continuing to say, I've got, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm suffering through sickness, disease. I'm old. I'm lame. I'm tired. You know, I'm exhausted. And, you know, but God gives us the strength. He does. It's the inward. It's Jesus Christ. It's not talking about the physical. It's the inward. We take care of ourselves. We do. We do the best we can. And so it says here in verse 14, it says in Philippians 3, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what is that mark? It is the goal. What is the prize? It's our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the prize. And that's what I can be very thankful for. And I'm reminded too here in this verse, our prize is found in James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him, them that love him. That crown is our salvation. It's symbolic of our salvation that we have in Christ, that crown that we have, that we can be thankful for, that we have already attained here. And so we are thankful for that. And as we're pressing toward our goal in Christ Jesus, I'll never forget the story of what happened in World War II with the Battle of the Bulge. And I remember, too, as the Germans came over their lines across the Rhine River and into France, and they had completely sealed off or pocketed off a group of soldiers. And Hitler's idea was to push, they call it the Bulge, to get to one of the main ports there in the Netherlands. But it didn't succeed. But anyway, these Americans were trapped, surrounded by the Nazis, the fascists. And what happened was is that the Germans said, one of the commanders said, why don't you, we'll do this. So he went over and he told them, he says, why don't you give up? You're surrounded. And sometimes the enemy, the devil, surrounds us. And it seems like we're all by ourselves. But remember, greater is he than is in us than he is in the world. And the one soldier replied back and he said, nuts, nuts. And so that's what we have to tell the devil. Nuts, you're crazy. I'm not giving up. We are not going to give up. We're going to keep pushing on. We got the strength. We got the fire in us. We have the joy. We have God that is greater than anything. So next time the devil surrounds you with temptations and lies and gives you a hard time when you're totally exhausted, you know, and you can't think, and he's just hitting you with everything else, or on the other side, unfortunately, you know, if you're just being lazy and not doing anything, we're being that way, which we should be. Just remember, bring it all together and tell the devil, nuts, I'm not giving up. I'm going to fight back, and I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Pray, pray, because we're no match for our enemy. But we can tell Satan, you know, where to get off of. And there's many verses with that as well. So we have to keep pressing on toward the goal that we have here. Then we see in verse 15, it says here, that let us, therefore, as many be perfect and thus minded with our attitudes, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you through his word and his spirit. So we need to see, number four, that we need to keep our mind on growing and maturing in Christ. In 2 Chronicles, I love this passage here. I like turning back to it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so it says here that as we are maturing, growing in the mind of Christ, it says here that if my people which are called by my name's sake, you know, it's talking about Israel at this time, but at the temple with Solomon, and but also we can apply this to the church today. Shall humble ourselves. We need to stay humble, number one. Number two, we need to pray. We need to be praying. Number three, we need to be seeking his face, his character, his attributes that he has, his word, and turn from their wicked ways. That means to repent from our sins. Then I will hear from heaven. God answers prayer, yes, no, or wait. And then I will forgive their sin. God does forgive us under the blood of Christ, and I will heal their land. In other words, God will bring his purpose to fruition and make all things seem like they're supposed to be. And so we need to keep our mind on growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we want to grow in him. And it reminds me of the story, you probably heard of this, about the two mice that fell in a bucket, of cream. The one mouse drowned. The other one kept on running in the bucket and turned it into butter. And then, you know, you came out of that bucket. You probably heard of that story before. But you know what? You know, God wants us to be that mouse. God wants us not to give up. God wants us to turn that cream into butter. And God wants us to get out of there. And you know what? In life is going to be hard. Life is like that bucket of cream. Life is like that. And you see some people giving away by the wayside. If you don't see it today, you're going to see it this week. You're going to see it on the news. You look at the atrocities that are happening in the news today. And yet you have people giving up. You know, suicide is almost at an all-time high rate. And yet, you know, we need to realize that we're not quitters. We don't give up. But yet there are some people that do commit suicide. And unfortunately, that's a tragedy in itself. And people say to me, well, what about that? What do you think, Pastor? And I said, that's between them and the Lord. You know, I'm not going to go there. I am not going to go there. Because some Christians can be tormented and persecuted in Christians, and they actually take away your mind where you can't think anymore. You're not you anymore. You're somebody else. And they torture you, and this is the point where, like, I've had it. I renounce Christ. You know? And that's a personal thing between them and the Lord, because the Lord only knows how much pressure and how much torture they can go through physically, mentally, spiritually, before they give up. And they kill themselves. And then, you know, so, and then you have the worldly crowd out there. They give themselves up. They commit suicide. It's a tragedy. Some people say, well, they murdered themselves. Well, you know what? That's between them and God, you know. But people like that are dying spiritually. Some people out there need the Lord. We need the Lord today. and more than anything else, to tell people about the Lord. It's so important. And so, looking at this, the last part here found in verse 16, that we maintain our growth and we have what we have already achieved. It says, verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." It has the idea of lining up in a race. It has the idea of lining up. And to fall in line, like we did in the military when I was in the military, you line up. You line up. Why? Because when I tell people this, they want to go in the military. And I told my son this when he was in the Marine Corps. I said, two things they want you to do. I said, one, number one, they want you to think as a unit. Because if you don't work together, and you don't, my son went out there to Afghanistan and Iraq, I said, if you don't work as a unit, they're going to kill you. They're out to get you. And I said, number two, I said, stay in shape. Be mentally alert, spiritually alert, physically alert. Because you don't want to go into the military being out of shape. Wait till you get to boot camp. And so God wants us spiritually, too, not to have to go through boot camp all over and over. You meet people over the years, Christians, that are still in boot camp. They are still going through the hard times because they never matured. They've never grown up in the faith. They never take their faith seriously. They don't, and it's a tragedy. And that's exactly where our enemy wants, so he can take pot shots at us along the way with his flaming arrows, so to speak, that goes right through that armor. They would have tar dipped in that, light it on fire, shoot it in there, and watch the, you know, burning us alive, so to speak. But God can put out that fire if we let him control us and be illumined with the Holy Spirit. So as it was there, you know, we maintain our growth. We had already, what we have already received. We walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And so God wants us to line up, to march right for him. And so God wants us not to give up as well. I like what Thomas Edison said. He says, failure is the key to success. Failure is the key to success. Each mistake teaches something. Remember, Thomas Edison, he invented the light bulb as well as many other patents. For us to do, Kimberly had to do a patent. She had to write out a letter, send some pictures of some artwork she did, went out there to D.C., Washington, D.C., where you have your patents published so that people can't copy off of it. But Thomas Edison said, he says, this failure is the key to success. Each mistake teaches us something. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. So people today, don't give up. He said, I'm a failure in this and that and the other. Of course, the devil's going to try to show all the bad parts about your life. But you know what? You always look for the beauty in everything, right? The beauty in everything, in yourself and what God has and in others, and be thankful and say, you know, I saw the beauty in that person today, and I'll be praying for him, and I'm praying for those who aren't even here today, and people we've known in the past, and people will know in the future. We look for the beauty in everything. Babe Ruth, famous baseball player who, remember, he accomplished 714 home runs. You know, his all-time record, that's been broken. That was a long time ago. But he struck out 1,330 times. Louis L'Amour, remember him? I love reading on that guy because he's a man's man, so to speak. 200 times he tried to get into the publisher, Bantam House. 200 times and they rejected him. Louis L'Amour, okay? One of the best authors. But then he never gave up. And guess what? 300 million copies were sold, books were sold around before he died of cancer. It was a tragedy, but if you read a lot of his books, it's a lot like what he went through. You read authors from books, their personalities are woven in those books. When you read the Word of God, the personalities are woven in the book, the Word of God. So let me encourage you here this morning. We need to be pressing toward our goal. Our goal. Never give up. Never give up. Always remember to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Remember, keep ourselves in shape as good runners, shape in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God, and continue to press on. Give it everything we have. And when we can't and we fail God, remember God picks us up. The righteous man or woman falls down seven times. That's perfection. The idea of perfection. And as the idea of God is maturing us through these trials and tribulations. But God will give us the joy and the strength that we need. So let us go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you of all people were a humble servant who came. He was not looking for the glitz and the glamour that this world espouses out, that blurs out. You weren't power mad, power hungry. You weren't looking for fame and fortune and all the things that this world throws at people once they're born here into this world and eventually they die. And, you know, Lord, there are a lot of people today are disappointed. And they realize that they haven't achieved everything that they want. But we know in Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can achieve many things. Like it says in the Pauline epistle of 1 Thessalonians that, you know, with our godliness, with contentment is great gain. Also, it says in Timothy that, you know, we need to put our treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. So everything that we do it as unto you. And then, Lord, because we're looking forward to going home. We're looking forward to running that race, coming to the end of that race, just like Eric Little, who was in a Chinese concentration camp. You know, we are different than the world. We are peculiar in a way that we are protected. Like it says in Titus, we're not peculiar as we're a bunch of oddballs. We're not. We're saved, we're sanctified, we're sealed through the Holy Spirit, and we have something the world doesn't have. And Lord, we pray for the people in this world that would come to know you. And we thank you that we have goals in life and that we still have reasons to be alive, and people that we love and people, Lord, that are suffering beyond our imagination, that by the grace of God, they're still alive. We just pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, we just pray for those people that are traveling, Lord, today and through this week. And Lord, we just pray that you bring them back safely too. And thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you've gone before us. And thank you, Lord, that you died for us, that, Lord, you've given us eternal life. And Lord, that we've accepted that. And we just pray that we'll continue to be bearers of light in this dark world. And we thank you for the holiday seasons, Lord, the holy season, as they used to call it many years ago. Lord, help us to be holy as you're holy. And thank you for this. And thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. In your name we pray. Amen.